Hello, welcome to Morning Manna, June the 5th, 2021. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we can come to you today to continue our study of your word. We're grateful for all that you've taught us in the past, and we look forward to that which you have for us today. We ask that you would give us the strength that is necessary so that we will retain that which we learn and share it with others. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, today we continue to take a look at the Bible readings for the Home Circle, published in 1889, and the subject for today is the closing gospel message. The closing gospel message, which is indeed a warning against false worship. Again, today, June the 5th, 2021, the subject, the closing gospel message. A warning against false worship. Question. What indicates that the messages of the judgment hour and the fall of Babylon are two parts of a threefold message? Revelation chapter 14 and verse 9 says, "And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice." So it is an indication here that there were three separate messages, three angels with messages. Next question. What apostasy from the worship of God is named in this message? Continuing in verse 9 of Revelation 14, it says, "If any man worship the beast and his image, and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand." Now notice the continuation now. First, the indication that the messages of the judgment hour are two parts of a threefold message. And then notice the second section of it says, "If any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, what is to be the fate of those who, instead of worshiping God, engage in this false worship?" Verses 10 and 11 of Revelation 14 says, "The same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name." So notice here what something that is quite important. There is this continuing message and warning that we should not allow ourselves to be led into error and worship that which is not according to the will of God. And of course, this is an important message. And we started out here today in Revelation chapter 14. All right. Now, next question. How are those described who heed this warning? Revelation chapter 14 and verse 12 says, "Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus." So they're described as having patience, and they're described as being saints because they have been obedient to the warnings of God. Next question. What description is given of the beast against whose worship this closing warning message is given? In Revelation chapter 13, verses 1 and 2, we find the answer. It says there, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power, and his seat, and great authority." Notice, in this composite beast from the sea are combined the symbols of the seventh chapter of Daniel, representing Greece, Medo-Persia, and Babylon. The blasphemous words spoken by it, its persecution of the saints, and the time allotted to it show that this beast under one of its seven-headed manifestations is identical with the little horn of the vision of the seventh chapter of Daniel, modern Babylon, the papacy. Now, of course, if you read that carefully, you'll recognize that this is indeed such a powerful description in this chapter that God has given us so that we might have a clear understanding of what the truth is. The false worship here mentioned, the worship of the beast, is the rendering of that homage to the papacy which is due to God alone. The system of religion enforced by the papacy is the paganism of Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome, indicated by the composite character of the beast in disguised under the form and name of Christianity. The Pontifex Maximus of the ancient pagan religions was continued in the Pope, who is the head of the Roman priesthood, and who, in the exercise of his priestly functions, took away the mediation of Christ and substituted a system of human mediation in its place, thus fulfilling the prophecies record in the 8th chapter of Daniel, and in which he is described as the vicar of Christ. So now we're warned, clearly warned, to not allow ourselves to be led astray. Remember what we started out with today? Revelation 14 verse 9, and the third angel followed them saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb, and the smoke of his torment ascendeth up forever and ever. And they have no rest day nor night who worship the beast and his image. And of course, we are warned about worshiping this beast and this image, allowing ourselves to be drawn into the papacy or paganism, mixture of Christianity and paganism. All right. The next question. What challenge is made by those who worship the beast? Revelation 13 and verse 4 says, and they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Now that's amazing, because here you have the warning about who you're actually worshiping. You're not worshiping a church. You're not worshiping a priest. You're worshiping the dragon. You're worshiping Satan. You're allowing yourself to be led astray by Satan. Next question. Whose sovereignty is thus challenged? Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 6 gives us the answer. It says, for as much as there is none like unto thee, O Lord, thou art great, and thy name is great in might. So when the dragon does what he does, when the papacy does what he does, then he is challenging the sovereignty of the God of heaven and earth. What specifications of the man of sin are thus fully met? 2 Thessalonians 2 verses 3 and 4 says, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Notice what he does now. He takes the place of God, as found in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Next question. What did Babylon give to the nations to drink? Revelation 14 and verse 8 says, she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. What are those to drink who accept the teachings of Babylon and thus render homage to the beast? Continuing in verse 10, That would be Revelation chapter 14 and verse 10. It says, "The same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation." So if you have been in the habit of drinking the wine of the wrath of her fornication, then ultimately you shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. Notice that the cup of the Lord, which contains the new covenant in the blood of Christ, and the cup of the wine of the wrath of Babylon, are both offered to the world. To drink of the former, that is, to accept the teaching of the true gospel, is to receive everlasting life. But to drink of the wine of Babylon, that is, to accept the false gospel taught by the papacy, will result in drinking of the wine of the wrath of God from the cup of his indignation. The true gospel means everlasting life. The false gospel means everlasting death. Now that's powerful. And you know, when we look at that, you'll begin to understand, you and I both begin to understand how clearly God is making this path before us, so that we might see exactly what he wants us to do. He wants us to walk according to his will. He wants us to do the things that are right and pleasing in his sight. Next question. Under what threatened penalty is the worship of the image of the beast enforced? Revelation chapter 13 and verse 15 says, "And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed." So notice now, this is going to be a serious enforcement, and it is not that far away. Notice, for an explanation of the image of the beast, we should read many more chapters that deal with that, because the image of the beast really deals with a system of government that is just like that which was set up by Rome and the papacy in the beginning. All right? Next question. What universal boycott is to be employed in an attempt to compel all to receive the mark of the beast? Revelation 13 verses 16 and 17 says, "And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand, or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name." Now that is enforcement. And you can easily see how that will touch every single person on the planet. Regarding the mark of the beast, this is something that they want you to grab hold of and obey. What is the mark of God's creation? Well, the mark of God's creation is the Sabbath day. What is the mark of the beast? The mark of the beast will be the change of that, an allegiance to Satan. Next question. Who is the real power operating through the beast and his image and demanding worship? Notice that Revelation chapter 13 and verse 2 gives you in the last part of that chapter, in the last part of that verse, the answer to that. "The dragon gave him his power and his seat and his great authority." This is not a man that is able to do this. This is not an organization that is able to do this. The power comes from the dragon, comes from Satan. The dragon gave him his power and his seat and his great authority. So who is this dragon? Revelation chapter 12 and verse 9 tells us, "And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." Now that's clear. So now you see who the battle is between: Christ, Lord and Savior, Satan, the dragon, who seeks to take the place of God and be God himself. Next question. How did the devil seek to induce Jesus to worship him? Luke chapter 4 verses 5 through 7 says, "And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine." Now that is powerful. And he thinks that he's going to win this battle by persuasion. Notice what he has the gall to say to the Son of God. "The devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. If thou therefore will worship me, all shall be thine." But of course, you know, he was not going to win that battle. And he has not won that battle. Question. How did Jesus show his loyalty to God? Luke 4 and verse 8 says, "And Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Perhaps this is a text that we should memorize if we have not already done that. For the temptations of Satan come to us on a daily basis. But you and I must be ready to say, "Get thee behind me, Satan. For it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." The threefold message of Revelation 14 proclaimed the connection with the closing scenes of the great controversy between Christ and Satan. Lucifer has sought to put himself in the place of God and to secure to himself the worship which is due God alone. The final test comes over the commandments of God. Those who acknowledge the supremacy of the beast by yielding obedience to the law of God as changed and enforced by the papacy, when the real issue has been clearly defined, will in so doing worship the beast and his image and receive his mark. Such will take the side of Satan in his rebellion against the authority of God. Now let me repeat that for you so that you can understand what the final test is. The final test comes over the commandments of God. Those who acknowledge the supremacy of the beast by yielding obedience to the law of God as changed and enforced by the papacy, when the real issue has been clearly defined, will in so doing worship the beast and his image and receive his mark. Such will take the side of Satan in his rebellion against the authority of God. So how many will yield to the demand to worship the beast? Revelation chapter 13 and verse 8 says, "And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world." Now that's amazing, because it means that your name would have to be already written in the Lamb's book of life. And it means that we must constantly and devotedly and consistently surrender our lives to him so that he might walk with us and teach us daily what we must be and how we must act and the decisions that we must make so that we walk according to his will. Question. In the judgment hour message, whom are all called upon to fear, glorify, and worship? Revelation 14 and verse 7 gives the answer. Let me ask the question again. In the judgment hour message, who are all called upon to fear, glorify, and worship? Revelation 14 and verse 7 says, "Saying with a loud voice, Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of water." Question. Who will sing the song of Moses and the Lamb on the sea of glass? Revelation chapter 15, verses 2 through 4 says, "And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire. And them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy. For all nations shall come and worship before thee. For thy judgments are made manifest." What a wonderful song that will be on that day, as we sing together the glory of God. I look forward to that moment, and I pray you do too. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the promise that you have made, for that which you have prepared for us, so that we might all stand together on the sea of glass and sing of victory. We ask that you would give us that which we need most, that our hearts might reflect you in every detail. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This has been Morning Manna, June the 5th, 2021.